Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be with you today. My name is John Bonner, and I'm pleased to be at St. Thaddeus again. The service is found in your bulletin. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Welcome, happy morning,
be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whom truly to know is everlasting life, grant us so perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them, step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time, the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God? When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Praise him in the heights.
Praise him, all you angels of his. Praise him, all his hosts.
Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him, heaven of heavens, and you waters above.
Commanded and they were created.
He made them stand fast forever and ever. He gave them a law which shall not pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you see monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and fall. Doing his will. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars,
wild beasts and all cattle, creeping things and winged birds,
kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the world.
Young men and maidens, old and young together,
let them praise the name of the Lord, for his mercy is only exalted, his splendor is over earth and heaven.
He has raised up strength for his people, and praise for all his loyal servants. The children of Israel, a people who are near him. Alleluia.
A reading from the Revelation to John. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, see, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
At the Last Supper, when Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Go ahead, I'm going to keep the book here. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. So a little context to today's gospel reading. Actually, the beginning of it gives you sort of the context, I think, at the Last Supper when Judas had gone out. So Jesus is in the upper room with the disciples. This is the evening before he is betrayed and crucified. And the tone, if you read the earlier portion of this chapter in John, the tone changes when Judas leaves. It becomes a little lighter, I think. And as we read this, one of the things that's important to know as we read Scripture, not just this small snippet of the gospel, if we read a passage and we hear something repeated and repeated and repeated and repeated, it's usually important. And we've got two things in this little brief, four-verse gospel that are repeated. The first has to do with being glorified five times in some shape, form, or fashion, and love one another four times. So the glorification process, the glorification aspect of this is what we think of when we come to church. Christ glorified, God glorified, the glory. That kind of glorification is what we're talking about. That's not necessarily what the disciples understood when Jesus said this, but we're kind of on the other side of the story, so we know that's what it means. But then the other thing, I'm just going to read it again. I give you a new commandment. Not a new request. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. It's a lot of love in two sentences or three sentences. So when we talk about love, what are we talking about? So I did a little bit of research on this, thinking that was an appropriate thing to do. And when we talk about love, it depends a little bit on which source you go to. We can have as many as four kinds of love, all the way up to, I think one source showed me, 12 kinds of love. And each one of these types of love has a really nifty Greek descriptor, which I'm not really going to go through with you. But there are so many different kinds of love because love takes different forms, right? Interestingly, in English, we have love, which sort of encompasses all of this. So I think the type of love that Jesus is referring to is agape love, love for others, without expecting anything in return. But where does love come from? Well, the resources that I consulted, and even in Scripture, we learn that we love because Christ loved us. I think everybody has heard that or some variation on that. But where does this love originate? I mean, it originates with God, but in human beings, where does it originate? Are we born with the ability to love? Do we learn to love? Or is it maybe a combination of those two? When a mother has a baby and is caring for the baby, did she learn to do that, or is that just sort of a biological drive? So maybe this love that we're talking about is a little bit of both. So the part that to me is maybe most important is that we can learn to love. But how are we going to learn to love? I mean, we have to learn it from somebody. We don't just learn it by reading books. So I want to tell you about someone that I know. I'm just going to call her Susie, which is not her name, but we're going to call her Susie. And I first saw Susie 20-something years ago. And she had questions about something going on in her life. And as we sort of worked through what it was, she had a very interesting history. So you need to know that Susie is one of the smartest people that I've ever met. She would not acknowledge that, but she is. She's a published author. She's a published playwright. And she had a full ride scholarship to one of the Ivy Leagues. Then after that, she had a full ride to a really prestigious graduate school. I mean, clearly a bright person. She grew up with parents who did not teach her love, period. They simply didn't. They were geniuses, except when it comes to, like, human relationships. So she grew up having a lot of difficulty believing that she was a worthwhile person, believing that that anybody could love her. And at some point she got married. She married a good person, and they had 3 children, all of whom are grown now. And she was, and I've told a lot of people this, she was one of the most competent parents that I've ever known. And she didn't grow up learning how to be a parent, but she learned how to do it. Her 3 children are healthy and feel good about themselves. They have good self-esteem, healthy self-esteem. They know how to care about people. They know how to care for people. And the hardest thing for Susie is to believe that anybody cares about her, which is a sadness in and of itself. So how do we learn to love? Most of us learn through experience, through experiencing the love either of a parent or an adoptive parent or a foster parent or a loving aunt or uncle or grandparent. But we learn by basking in the love that somebody gives us. When somebody loves us, they nurture us. They talk to us. But they also do things like, I don't know, set limits and boundaries, which, if you've ever been a child, and my hunch is everybody here has been a child at some point in your life, if you've ever been a child, you know it's no fun to have a parent or a loved person, a loved one, an adult in authority set rules and limits and boundaries. I mean, like, nobody really likes it, but that's part of loving. It can be overdone. Anything can be overdone. But if it's not done, it's very difficult for us to begin to develop a good sense of who we are. Love. One of the ministries that I'm engaged in outside the church, although it's a church ministry, is with the Hosanna community, which I think many of you are familiar with. And the Hosanna community is almost independent living community, living situation for adults who have very particular needs. Some of the folks at the Hosanna community have traumatic brain injury. There are a number of things, but they can live almost independently. And I go over there several times each month. There are 2 houses for residents. And when I started going over there, it became real clear that the ideal time for me to go was to start at mealtime at 6 o'clock. Well, that was kind of a bonus for me because the person who almost always does the cooking, selects the menu and so on, was one of the chefs at, gosh, what was the name of the restaurant? 512 Market? 212 Market. See how many times I got to go there. 212 Market, I mean, like a gourmet chef. And so most of the time when I go there to interact with residents and we start off with the meal and I'm at the table with them, I've got this almost gourmet meal. I mean, it's amazing. Every now and then she doesn't do it, and every now and then it's not a gourmet meal, but it's always good. And we talk at the table because that's what you do at a dinner table with the family, right? You talk. And then afterwards I'll meet with whichever residents want to meet with me. And sometimes we talk about the Bible and scriptural things. Sometimes we talk about what's going on in their lives, whatever they want to talk about. We always finish with a prayer. And I'm going to tell you, those folks can pray really good. But they also have a lot of love for each other. They have compassion for each other. They care about each other. One of the residents, about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, it must have been more than 2 years ago because it was pre-pandemic. No, it wasn't. I take it back. It was during the early part of the pandemic, and her mother died from COVID. And she couldn't go to the church service for the funeral or for the memorial service because they were kind of quarantined in. And so they asked me to do it. And so I went there fully prepared to do kind of a brief memorial service. And I had a few things prepared that I would say. It would be a super brief homily. And so I got to the part where I was going to, like, do the brief homily. And I can't remember how I introduced it. I know it was like a sentence. And then this person, this resident over here, said to Mary, I'll call her Mary. This person over here said to Mary, "Mary, we love you. We're so sad for you." And then this person said something consoling. And then this person said something consoling. Almost everybody there said something caring and consoling. I mean, that's like the best homily I've ever preached. And it was full of love because they care for each other. They care about each other, and they care how each other feels. And for, gosh, I don't know how long, a good long time after that, when I would go and meet with them at the meal, at the house that she was at, that was almost always something that would come up. Somebody at the table would say, "How are you doing now, Mary?" And sometimes she would tear up, and everybody would, like, you know, put a hand on her and comfort her. Sometimes she would say, "Well, I'm doing okay." But that's love, okay? That's not the kind of love you learn from reading it in a book. It's not the kind of love you learn anywhere other than through experiencing love, through experiencing caring from other people. So when Jesus gives us this commandment, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another," that you love one another. And just so we don't have to guess how we're supposed to do that, he goes on, "Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. So when we do this love thing with other people, this agape love, it's almost always a blessing to the other person, but it's always a blessing to us. Amen.
Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, sung to the Heiferdahl tune. Glory of the Paschal light, we pray to God.
Risen Lord, you bring life and healing. You call us to be alive, bringing about justice and good health in this community. Awake us who sleep. Rise us from death.
Christ will give us new life.
Bring a renewed passion for the good news to your church, O God, that we might serve you with courage and grace.
In the new Easter light, we proclaim your redeeming work.
Resurrect hope in the broken places of your world, O God, that all might know the goodness of your love. Make us instruments of your peace. Lead us from the empty tomb to be examples of your love, grace, and forgiveness. Inspire our leaders toward peace and cooperation.
In Easter, we learn to honor one another and serve the common good.
The resurrected Christ is a mission of hope to those who suffer. We especially pray for Jim,
J.R. and Courtney, Pat, Gail, Priscilla, Greg, Cindy, Joycey, Kelly, Barry, Pete, Kat, Xavier, Becky, Alexander, Terry, Dale, Peter, Marianne, Kelly, Holly, John and Jess, Nicole, family of Leanne Hampton, Paula, Margaret, Jacqueline, John, Jenny, Zach, Steve, Kyle, Richard, Bonnie, Valerie, Amy, Lori, Sherry, Cheryl, the Ellie family, Christina, the family of Lil Press Baby, Cheryl, Jamie and Dale, Afton and Dave and Ronan, Randy and Ann, and Bill.
After you were raised, you ate and drank with the disciples. Bring us and all who have died peace and assurance of the resurrection.
Remind us daily to share in your eternal kingdom.
In the Easter light, change our hearts that we might grow larger in faith and hope.
Help us to reach out with Christ's life-giving hands.
Christ has burst forth from the tomb, making all things new. Grant that we may now live by faith and with joy behold the coming of your resurrection work in the world around us. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Please greet one another in the name of the Lord.
Peace.
And you've already introduced yourself, but I'm going to do it again.
Thank you.
Father John Bonner, who is our presider today. Very nice to serve at the altar with you. I've served, I think, one time before this with you.
Right.
It's a joy and a delight to be with you again.
Thank you, Bill.
Other announcement is kind of what I said, I don't know, last Sunday. Wow, awesome music. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Son of righteousness.
All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again, he has won for us everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name.
Holy, holy,
we give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you had delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where, with Thaddeus and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Alleluia, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore let us keep the feast.
Alleluia. The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Amen.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.
Go forth into the world to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.